Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Last week, to commemorate Pacific Power's 100th anniversary, a community tree planting program took place in Astoria on Earth Day. By the end of 2010, a total of 200 trees donated by Pacific Power will have been planted, qualifying Astoria for Tree City USA status. Pacific Power is also committed to restoring and relocating the historic Shively Fountain in support of Astoria's 2011 bicentennial celebration. Today, I'm fortunate to have in the KMUN studio the president of Pacific Power, Pat Wrighton, regional community manager for Pacific Power, Sheila Holden, Astoria City Councilor and Chair of the Tree Committee, Arlene Lemire, and Executive Director of the Clatsop County Historical Society, Mac Burns. So that means there's a lot of talent in this room today. Welcome, all of you. Pat, it's so nice to have you here.
Oh, thank you, Donna. Just happy to be here.
Excellent. And Mac Burns, always good to see you.
Well, I don't know about that. Come on.
Oh, yeah, no.
I have a face for radio. We know that.
I always feel like you're doing good things at the Historical Society, Mac.
Well, I hope so.
And Arlene, thanks for being here.
Yes, I'm happy to be here and report on a great day that we had.
Excellent. And Sheila, thanks for being in the studio today.
It's my pleasure. We had a great week last week.
All right. Well, before we talk about what happened and how Pacific Power is involved with Astoria and the special relationship that you have here, let's just have a listening audience get to know each of you just a little bit. So, Pat, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself. Pat Wrighton, again, is the regional community. Actually, he's the president of Pacific Power.
That's true. I am. I've been with the company, boy, it's near 4 years now. I was brought in when the ownership changed back in 2006, and they had the hopefully good sense of having local people run their company. I'm an Oregonian, grew up in on the west side of Portland in Beaverton, and I think in some respects I'm the token non-engineer in the electric world. I got my start doing energy policy, worked for U.S. Senator Mark Hatfield for many years in D.C., and just pleased to have been with the company the last 4 years of what now is a 100-year tradition.
A lot of illumination going on with Pacific Power. And Mac Burns, please tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm Mac Burns. I'm the executive director of the Clatsop County Historical Society. I've had that job for 7 years now, and we run the Flavelle House, the Heritage Museum, the Upper Town Firefighters Museum, and shortly here, in just a few weeks, the Oregon Film Museum that we're really excited about opening in the old Goonies Jail. So a lot going on, and we were asked by the City of Astoria a few years ago to be the lead organization in planning, orchestrating, and implementing an appropriate bicentennial celebration for Astoria.
Okay, 100 years for Pacific Power, 200 years for Astoria. That's great. All right, Arlene Lemire.
I've been delighted to be the chair of the Astoria Bicentennial Tree Planting Committee. Learned a lot about trees in the last few months. And I serve as a city councilor, and I'm also the librarian at the Columbia River Maritime Museum.
All right, that keeps you busy.
Sure does.
All right, and Sheila Holden.
Yes, and everyone's telling how long they've been at their current position, and I've been at my position probably longer than some of you have been on this earth. So I'm for about 29 years now. I've been with Pacific Power, and it's a wonderful company, obviously, to work with and for, simply because Pacific Power learned a long time ago that how well it does as a company is directly related to how well the communities it serves does.
I just want to know what kind of vitamins you're taking, Sheila, actually, because if you, because 29 years with the company, and then, okay, well.
That's another reason for us to celebrate.
That is, that's right. And we're all in a celebratory mood right now. And how did this tree planting idea come to be? How did it take place? Let's hear about the tree planting that happened on Earth Day in Astoria.
Well, you know, that day was, it was kind of a trifecta celebration because we had the opportunity to not only celebrate Pacific Power's 100th anniversary, kind of kick off the bicentennial celebration, but also celebrate the 40th anniversary of Earth Day. And so the idea of doing something on that day that was not only good for the community, but kind of honored the Earth Day tradition, all made sense. And you know, I think we have an impending application, Arlene, do we not, for as a Tree City USA designation?
Right. Yeah, there are a couple of things that we're working on kind of as a follow-up after the wonderful tree planting day that we had last week. One is to establish a tree steward program so that we make sure that the trees are were not only planted correctly, but are maintained well, and that we have good, healthy trees. That's part, having this committee established as part of becoming a Tree City USA.
Arlene, I just want to go on record right now, and the trees that I was planting on the east side of the Maritime Museum, the ones that are straight are probably mine. The crooked ones, Sheila, I'm thinking of.
Pat Egan, our Vice President of Community and Customer Affairs, probably be the one we'd blame for that,
yeah,
right?
There we go.
What kind of trees? What kind of trees did you all plant, and who helped you plant them?
Oh, boy, I mean, it was just tremendous. I mean, so we had a kind of a breakfast celebration at the Maritime Museum to kick this off, give everybody their instructions, and the crowd there was unbelievable. I pulled in. I didn't think I could find a parking spot. We had, what, the...
I think it was probably more than about 200 people there, mm-hmm. easily. With
a person per tree, almost.
More yeah. than a person yeah. per tree, right. We had a lot of folks there.
Yeah.
Well, the Coast Boy Guard Scouts, was involved, the Boy Scouts.
Girl Scouts. The
Kiwanis.
Service clubs,
Rotary.
The school kids.
Wow.
It was just great. Every
Job
day.
Corps.
The Coast Guard. Everybody yeah. came out. Yeah.
It was just amazing. The Rotary was there. We had all the Girl Scouts, and it seemed like every Boy Scout that was in Astoria. It was a wonderful event to have the community come out and support the community planting. And you know what's going to be really nice about it is next year when it is spring again, they'll drive by and say, wow, that's a gorgeous tree. I planted that tree. And as they grow older, they'll be able to say, I was part of it. And they have T-shirts to prove it.
You know, when we come back, when all of us get back together again to celebrate the 250th anniversary. The T-shirts will still be here, and we'll know which trees we helped plant. And, you know, that's the identify. You know, we want to make people have this connection with our history and the town that they live in. And that was the really great thing about last week was that this was really our first kickoff for the Bicentennial. I mean, we know it was your birthday party, and we appreciate that. But it was really the first thing that we've done with the entire asking the community to come out and help on something together. I mean, people have been reading about the Bicentennial, but this is the first time we rolled up our sleeves, ate a meal together, got together, and did something really terrific.
And I want to thank the folks who were behind the scenes and at the front of it to help make it happen. You know, as far as Pacific Power is concerned, we're really appreciative of the kind of support we got from the city staff, from the mayor, from Paul Benoit, from Ken Nelson, from all those folks who helped to make this happen. And then, you know, it's never enough to say thanks to Paulette McCoy and to Mac and to Arlene, who she's right. She stepped right in there when the mayor appointed her as the chair of the tree committee and to get a USA designation, tree USA designation, you have to have a tree committee. She stepped up to the plate, and we're real appreciative of that.
What did you learn about trees you didn't know, and what kind of trees are they, and where are they?
Most of the trees are ornamentals, mostly crabapple and cherry. We have also a few maples and two linden trees. But many of the cherry and the crab apples are low growing trees so that we don't get into any Pacific Power power lines.
Utility friendly.
So that was one criteria, but I think next spring it will be I can hardly wait to see all the flowers blooming that haven't been before. And we planted them really from one end of the city to the other. We started at the down at Alderbrook Hall, and then moved to the Customs House, Ball Fields area, then to the Maritime Museum, to the area where the Indian Head statue is, over to the Pacific Power substation, the schools that were involved. We planted at Lewis and Clark, Astor, Astoria High School, Astoria Middle School, Robert Gray. So this
and the column, the Astor field. Column.
We planted one up at the Astor column, and where else?
The Catholic school.
Oh yes, Star of the Sea School got some trees.
Pioneer Cemetery.
Pioneer Cemetery.
Lots at Pioneer Cemetery.
And the Flavelle House. So yes, our biggest planting was at the Pioneer Cemetery. We had 30 trees up there.
So you planted how many trees?
116 altogether today, and some had already been planted too. We had already planted two at the Customs House and one out at the fairgrounds when they were training the master gardeners to plant trees.
And will people be able to identify that these are you calling them legacy trees, heritage trees, bicentennial trees? What are they called?
All three.
Okay.
And there will be a map. Pacific Power is working with the Bicentennial Group to develop a map, and you'll probably see it in some of the press today. It's in its rudimentary form. It's going to actually show on it where each tree is located, and it's going to have a kind of a history of what has happened and how all the partners came together to make this truly a community tree planting. And also, there are about 50 trees that were given to individuals that they were able to plant trees in their own on their own yard or property. And so that's exciting. So they all send in a picture to the Bicentennial office so that we'll be able to add that to the heritage tree map.
And if you're listening and you're one of those 50 that got one of the trees that signed up and got it, and you haven't sent your picture yet, Paulette and I are looking for you. We want your pictures.
Yeah, that you want folks to take photographs of the trees that they've planted. What is it, Pat, that really makes this relationship Pacific Power has with Astoria so special and unique?
Well, you know, I mean, I think the first thing that comes to mind, you know, is just the longevity. We used tree planting kind of as a metaphor because, you know, our relationship with the city is ever growing. It's flexible. It has deep roots, and it goes back a solid 100 years. Our company serves 243 communities spread across three states, and but it started right here. It started in Astoria, and a man by the name of Sidney Z. Mitchell, who worked for General Electric at the time and had been worked with Thomas Edison, unbelievably, came to town, saw some potential in the electric system here, combined it with systems in Walla Walla, Pendleton, and Yakima, and started Pacific Power in 1910. Our anniversary date is June 16th. And so this is home turf. You know, when we're here, we're amongst friends. And you can just feel it. But it also is a special relationship in the sense that because of the terrain, because of the weather, this is a very difficult service territory. And so we have to work very, very closely with the city and the community as we weather storms. And certainly, you know, it's never far from our memory thinking about back to December 07. Hopefully the biggest storm we'll see in Sheila in our tenure.
Pacific Power, those were the heroes of the day. And if you've just tuned in, you are listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and today I have some amazing folks in the studio. We are talking about Pacific Power's 100th anniversary, and I have in the studio the president of Pacific Power, Pat Wrighton, and regional community manager of Pacific Power, Sheila Holden, Astoria City Councilor and Chair of the Tree Committee, Arlene Lemire, and Executive Director of the Clatsop County Historical Society, Mac Burns. So this special relationship that Pacific Power has had with Astoria over these 100 years is continuing on with your now dedication to the Bicentennial, and you're going to do some other things in the future, and what might those things be?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, we're participating as a what we call a legacy project, not only in planting trees, but in helping to see the restoration of the Shively Fountain. And so coming up here soon, I hope there will be an unveiling there. And, you know, it's kind of notable because 100 years ago, I mean, we think we're have great tenure as a company, but Astoria is 200 years ago. Well, on their centennial, the Shively Fountain was unveiled in a park that was lit by electricity served by Pacific Power. And 100 years later, it's in need of restoration, and it's our honor and pleasure to see that help see that that happens. So we're looking to that as another way to commemorate the occasion.
Pat, I know that Pacific Power is looked at as a leader in developing renewable energy sources, and you have a Blue Sky program. You also have something called a Green Power Community. Could you talk to us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. And, you know, even before we get to those programs, what's happened in the last 3 or 4 years is nothing short of amazing. We went from zero to being the second largest wind-owning utility in the country. The number one, by the way, is our sister company in Iowa. And that investment has been substantial and continues to power our customers' usage with green power. And so we're I think, doing good things for the environment there. But what's really inspiring is the fact that through our Blue Sky program, which allows customers to purchase retail green energy, you know, they've stepped up in a major way. And that program is perennially within the top five in the nation. We just got our statistics for this year. We're the second most customer served of any other program in the country, which is a credit to our customers. And it allows investment in new renewables, in community-based renewable programs. The Environmental Protection Agency has something called the Green Power Communities, and half of those designated in the country are in the Pacific Core Service Territory, and a couple, you know, right here on the coast, including Cannon Beach and a little further down Lincoln City, both great Pacific Power communities.
Sheila, did you want to say something?
And I did want to say that the mayors of in Clatsop County have all declared that they want to become green power communities as well. So we're looking forward to working with them and doing challenges to help spur our listeners to all become part of the Blue Sky program.
We certainly have wind and waves and rain here.
Oh, yes,
we do. The shameless plug is if your viewers connect to us through pacificpower.net, they can sign up for the Blue Sky program and increase that percentage of our power that's provided by green, clean, renewable power.
We'll be hearing more about that in the future, I'm sure. What are the unique challenges that you see for the future for Pacific Power, for, you know, coastal communities like ours?
Sure. And I mean, we've been talking about one of them, which is, we're heading into a carbon-constrained environment. And all of that wind investment, whether that's driven by customer demand through Blue Sky or the company proactively acquiring those generation sources, is designed to minimize the cost risk for our customers, as well as to do good things for the environment. And so, you know, our environment as electric utility is changing. We will not build new coal plants. We will likely phase out old coal plants. We will be looking for new types of generation. There'll be new demands on us as a utility as the transportation sector switches fuel sources from oil-based to electricity, and that's coming. Electric vehicles, plug-in electric hybrids, that will continue to put demands on us as a company to serve customers in a way that makes sense for them and to hold costs down while we're doing it. We continue to be a very low-cost utility, as judged by other utilities nationally, and So we've got some big challenges, but it's a really exciting time to be in the industry.
You know, one of those things that you just said that I love that I just Sheila shared with me last week, that the price has actually gone down per kilowatt from 100 years
kilowatt
ago.
Kilowatt hour.
Kilowatt hour. It's mm-hmm. gone down by like a cent or two.
Yes. When we first started providing power in this area in 1911, the price was 8.5 cents a kilowatt hour. A lot more than it is now. Per residential customers pay something like 6.2 cents.
How great is that? I mean, 100 years you've been working on making the price go down. I mean, I most products, they make the price go up.
I will tell you here, one thing that hasn't changed is the power supply 100 years ago largely was renewable. It was from a steam plant that was largely powered through biomass. Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Well, we do look to the past sometimes for the ideas for the future. That's for sure. You have also a little saying that I think is really interesting. What does that mean when you say, Pacific Power, let's turn the answer on for another 100 years?
Well, you know, the first and most important part about it is the word let's, and it's meant to be inclusive. Every single employee, our commitment to our customers, working with great towns like Astoria and Seaside and Gearhart and Cannon Beach.
Warrington.
And Warrington, thank you. Is you know, it's a collaboration to get to good solutions. Turning the answers on, you know, we will need new solutions. Right now we're seeing that as we transition the types of generating resources that we use to serve customers' needs. We're going to need innovation, and we're going to need to do that together. The next 100 years piece, that's an obvious. I'll tell you, we have built a sustainable business model for one real reason, and that's because we put customers first and communities first. And you know, that's the only way you sustain yourself as a business. We aim to do that for another 100 years plus.
One of the things I think is really gratifying is how the communities have all come together and how there were so many young people involved in the tree planting ceremony last week. Maybe one of those young people has the idea, will have ideas that will be helpful to us in the future.
That's very true. It was so exciting to see all the young people last week. They were from toddler to teenagers to the Tongue Point Job Corps kids who were really on it. They are becoming young professionals in landscaping, and they know their trees, believe me. I went to tree clinic with them. So you're right. We're starting. There are all kinds of legacies. They are a living legacy for all of us, too.
I'll tell you what I liked, you know, about the ceremony. So we're doing the kind of the official photo op, and Mac and Arlene and Mayor Van Dusen and I are there, and we've got these golden shovels, and this Cub Scout grabs a shovel, decides he wants to be in the picture, and so sure enough, we welcome him in. He's right on front. So there is a kid who has a career in public service. You know, like
he'll be mayor.
There you go.
It's true. So when people came to plant the trees, did you give them shovels? How did this happen?
You know, the first thing we did is we gave them expert advice, and we'd be entirely remiss if we didn't mention my friend and favorite arborist, Luke Colvin, who's absolutely fabulous. And, you know, so he gave us a little bit of advice on the finer points of actually doing this right. So we hope that these trees will live as a result of that. But yeah, you, Arlene, you provided all sorts of other helpful.
Well, we were able to borrow some shovels from the city public works, so I want to be sure that they get credit for that. They also the Parks and Recreation Department provided us with our three golden shovels. And we got so many wonderful, so much wonderful help from the community. England Marine provided the tape for tying up the trees. Astoria Builders Supply procured the stakes for us. We wanted to make sure that those trees are staked and tied properly. So we had a lot of community help.
I'm really looking forward to visiting the trees.
Yep. By the way, Arlene, I've got two shovels still in my car, so I got to get those back to you.
Oh, no, those are the
We've
ones we brought.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm okay then.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, so I'd like to give each of you a chance to just say something that you'd like the listening audience to know about either the tree planting, all the wonderful trees now that are going to be here in Astoria, that are already here in Astoria now, to celebrate the bicentennial, and the Shively Fountain. Anything else? Do you have one last little thing you'd like people to know?
Well, I mean, you know, we've got there are so many areas of cooperation and joint effort between the North Coast and our company. You know, we're from here. This is hometown for us. It's fun. It was fun last week to be with friends. And so, you know, more of that to come.
And the birds thank you, too, because birds need places to perch, and those trees are going to be important for the birds.
I can't wait till those cherry trees blossom in the spring. They'll be awesome.
Yes. All right. Mac?
You know, I'm just thrilled by the turnout, and this bicentennial is not the Historical Society's event. It's not just the city council or the city government. This is everybody. This is everybody who lives here, who works here, who loves this place. It's our celebration. It's our birthday. And how many people came out to help plant trees just showed that. It reflected the community. I mean, everybody pitched in. It was wonderful.
That's great. Thanks, Arlene.
I shared at the opening last week about my favorite Walt Disney movie, which was Johnny Appleseed when I was growing up. And because Johnny was one of those people that left a legacy for the nation, and today last week, Pacific Power left the city of Astoria a legacy as well. 200 trees for our 200th birthday, and that's a legacy that will last into the future.
Thank you, Sheila.
Short and sweet. Thank you, Astoria, for allowing us to give you a living legacy and heritage trees, and we look forward to celebrating with you on your birthday next year.
All right, so we'll let the celebration begin. Thank you so much. The bicentennial is already officially moving forward. Yes. I'm Donna Quinn. I want to thank all of you who've been listening to this program. I want to thank our engineer extraordinaire, Terry Wilson, and also Michael Brunn, our local talented banjo instructor who wrote the original theme music for this program today. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. With gratitude for all the good things in your life, and focus on those good things, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.